get some years on it. And when you're old or older, well, then you're just focused on your own dilemmas. And so, like I say, there's never a good time to teach on the matter of growing old or being old. But all can benefit. For all of you are either old, getting older, or at least you will, okay? And we all know somebody who qualifies as old, whatever or whenever that is. What is old, by the way?
Not me.
I like, Jody just said,
that's
not
right.
Me. Now, I like what I saw when I was pastoring Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, back in 1970 and 71. That's old. I was went to a hospital to visit over in what is known as Camp Hill, and got into the elevator, and there was a big sign like you've seen in elevators in hospitals, and this one has, "What is old age? 10 years beyond wherever I am." Okay? Psalm 37, verse 25, "I have been young and now am old. Yet have I not foreseen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." I have some one-liners on old age. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. once said, "I don't feel old, but I can count." And R.H. Stoll, I don't know who he is, but I want to acknowledge, "We cannot avoid growing old, but we can avoid growing cold." And then Curtis Hudson, he was pastor at Stone Mountain, Georgia, for many years, and then he became the editor of the Sword of the Lord after John R. Rice resigned. And he made several comments here I'll give. "You are young only once, but you can remain immature indefinitely." He also said, "Regarding age, I sometimes say I'm in the neighborhood of 30, but it's a big neighborhood." yeah. And then, these papers apart here. "Old age is when you get it all together and forget where you put it."
No, I'm not there.
You remember that?
Uh-huh.
You just told me you weren't old. But according to that, you're qualified.
She's old, I'm older.
Here's another one. "Middle age is when the broad mind and narrow waist exchange places." Oh, yeah. One man once said, "It's terrible to grow old alone. My wife hasn't had a birthday in 10 years. Another one said, "He who controls not his youth will not enjoy his old age." Now, there's a bit of wisdom in that. I like this one. "You are reaching old age when it takes longer to rest up than it did to get tired." Oh, yeah. Growing old. Time marches on. We've all heard the saying, perhaps, of growing old gracefully. You know, people don't like grumpy at any age, but it seems especially undesirable in old age. I guess it's because we figure there ought to come some insight and positive experiences out of
having lived life. The elderly Christian is not headed for sunset, but for the sunrise of glory. Yeah. Well, it depends on what aches and what pains as to how much of sunset or sunrise you might be feeling. Doctors confirm, and I don't know the basis of this statistic, but doctors confirm that people with true faith in God and the will to live happily have a better survival rate than those who are gloomy and depressed. Look at Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 22. Proverbs 17:22 goes along with what I just stated regarding what doctors confirm. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. Be grumpy, see only the negative, complain about whatever is happening. A broken spirit drieth the bones. In other words, it just makes life difficult. But a merry heart doeth good. It says, like a medicine. A merry heart doeth good. Be cheerful. Being pleasant, being happy is a determination. You know, I'd really like to just wake up feeling happy. I'd really like to just go through the day feeling bubbly and excited. You know, there's type A personalities, type B personalities. And then you keep going down through with the letters, you know, and eventually you get to X, Y, Z. Different types of personality. And really, I believe that one's personality has a lot to do determining how they view life and how they are in life. Some people just have that positive outlook on life. You know, we as fundamentalists were never keen on who was the positive thinking guy.
Joel Osteen.
No, not Joel.
Schuller?
Schuller, right. Robert Schuller. And he's, I don't know if he's still living or not, but he's not. And so, he was the one who brought into Christianity the power of positive thinking. And he used it many times to replace God's grace and the work of grace in a believer's life. And for that, he was criticized, and rightfully so. But basically, what he had to say was not wrong. There is power in positive thinking. And I believe that's what Proverbs 17:22 says, with a merry heart doeth good. A person that has a positive outlook in life. Pat's younger brother would be the perfect example of somebody who has determined he is going to have a good outlook and approach each day, however difficult and problematic it may be, he's going to approach it with a positive outlook. One of the things that took him to that place, he's now in heaven, but had a brother who was mentally retarded. And as her younger brother said, my worst day is better than his best day. And we can determine how we look in life, but not if we focus on the problems. Now, if you've got the kind of personality that is able to not be overcome by your difficulties, thank God for it. But you still need to be focusing on Christ. And then for those of us who have difficulty seeing beyond the flat tire on the car to the fact that we have a car, that's something to be positive about, huh? But if you've got the kind of personality that just sees the problem, it can become discouraging. And we need to remember Proverbs 17:22, a merry heart doeth good. Just like a medicine when you're physically sick can help, so a positive outlook. I had a bad night last night. I didn't sleep well at all. It was 1 o'clock until I began to approach falling asleep, and I heard the clock chime after that. We went to bed at 10:30, and it was just not a good night. And things that can pain did pain, and So I woke up this morning. You know what? I didn't feel very chipper. I need to read Proverbs 17:22. I mean, like, I ought to put it in frontlets on my forehead, okay? Because really, it's easier for me to focus on what's not right. And if you're like that, then I understand you. You understand me. But life goes on anyway. Now, a former president, James Garfield, is quoted as saying, "If wrinkles must be written upon our brows, never let them be written upon our hearts, for our spirit must never grow old." Goes along with, we need to determine how we're going to face a day. We need to determine how we're going to handle the issues of life. And the idea that a person must lie down and die because he's getting old is foolish, okay? And some people just seem to look forward to die. Well, I'm ready to die, but I'm not volunteering right now, okay? Because in spite of my personality, I really do like life, okay? In spite of the, and besides that, I like my wife's cooking.
Yeah, there we go.
I mean,
yes, sir.
If I died, I wouldn't be able to eat anymore.
Oh,
you say, well, that's silly. You'll go to heaven and things are better there. I know that. But what we know and what we live is many times two different things.
Well, we've all eaten your wife's cooking.
You like her cooking too, okay. Yeah, who is old? Not the person with spiritual energy. Who is old? It's the one who wastes his life in pessimism and defeat. Just as I illustrated with her younger brother. You all know somebody who's like that. They're just positive, they're upbeat. And in spite of the difficulties they have, and that doesn't mean that they ignore them, that they aren't conscious of them, that it's automatically easy to deal with them. No, it's just that their mindset toward them is positive. Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs 15. Now, we read in chapter 17, verse 22, merry heart is good like a medicine. Here in verse 13 of chapter 15, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, Comes from within. It's not from circumstances. Because circumstances can change. And if it's circumstances that make you happy or sad, life is going to be a constant up and down. Because that's what circumstances are. But a merry heart maketh a cheerful company. What's from within? But by the sorrow of heart, the spirit is broken. The heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge. But the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. The heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge. Now we know that Proverbs is many times a verse is not part of a context, that it's separate individual statements of wisdom, but there are times where they connect by the same subject, and I believe this is one of them. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. The heart of him that hath understanding, that understanding comes from the word of God, seeketh knowledge. Verse 15, all the days of the afflicted are evil. Doesn't seem that way sometimes, does it? All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. Because they continually have the kind of outlook in life that keeps them from being defeated by life. Now, how do you get that? If that is your personality, you have a head start. But even a person with a positive personality is not necessarily focused on Jesus Christ. Of all people that need to have a positive outlook in life, it should be us Christians. And yet, it's, at least I say, a common saying, one that I've heard through the years, and that is, some Christians look like a bump on a wall. Some Christians, you know, they look like they sucked on dill pickles. They don't, you know, they're not very cheerful. They, not only are they not cheerful, they're actually grumpy. What a testimony for Jesus Christ, huh? It's a sad commentary on that individual's lack of relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm not saying they don't have a relationship, but the relationship they have is lacking because they're not focused on Jesus Christ. Now, no, a person may slow down and discontinue participating in certain activities. There are some activities and some insights to life that can only come with experience. There's some things that as a young person you might know factually, but the experiences of life enable us to take the facts that we know and put them into a practice of living. And that's different. It's no surprise that the young people that went off to classes, from the very youngest ones on up through to the oldest of the teens, it's no surprise that they have difficulty taking advice from their parents. I mean, after all, you knew how dumb your parents were when you were a teenager, huh? Wasn't it amazing how the older you got, the smarter they finally got? And once you got to around 30, you know, that neighborhood, however big it is, once you got into those experiences of life, how where they got their insight from was hard to understand, but they began to get smarter, didn't they? Yeah. You see, it's because there's just some experiences that it takes time to understand and to relate to. And I realize that just because a person's old, that doesn't make them wise. There are foolish older people. But that's coming yet. Look at Job chapter 7. Job chapter 7. Looking just at verse 6, where Job says, "My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle and are spent without hope. My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle." Now, I've never been around weaving the actual process. I've seen it on TV, in some documentaries or educational programs, but that weaver's shuttle, you know, they've got, and probably Pam could tell us more about this, but you take and somebody who's adept at this, man, that thing flies through, and they fly through this way, and they pull it through, tighten it, and flies through the other way, and pull it through, and it just goes so swift that, you know, you wonder how. And good night, you know, they can throw it through, pull, throw it through, pull. Now, you got to do each step in order. And some days, or my days, are swifter than a weaver's shuttle. And he says they're spent without hope. Time flies. That's what I'm reading there. Time flies. It used to be that it was only older people, whatever age that is, it was only older people that would say, "Man, time flies." But I have heard younger people saying that. And I remember that it was a number of years ago now when I heard, I don't know, they may have probably somebody in their 20s, and I heard them say, "Man, time flies." And it shocked me, because up to that point, it was only older people that would say that. And it's a shame when time flies, meaning it goes by fast, because when you're older, it takes longer to do some things. Things you used to do. I'm doing some painting at the house. And it took me an hour and a half to paint a door frame. What in the world is this? That should have been done in 45 minutes, maybe an hour at the most. And that makes me think, when Grace Bible first began, we met for a year at the Ceres Community Center, rented it, and then we bought the old Seventh-day Adventist building. They had stopped using it, they disbanded, and so we bought that building. And we had a work day, and we were painting. And I was painting on the frames around the window were wide. I mean, they were at least that wide, okay? And then, of course, what went in toward the window and that part of the casing and all. And I was painting away, and this one fella came up to me, and he said, "Hey, Michelangelo, move over. We got to get this thing done today." Because I was being so precise, you know. And he came along with a roller, and he used a roller on the window frame. And you never paint a window frame with a roller, but you know, it worked. It definitely was quicker than what I was doing. Now, you still had to use the brush, you know, other than on that wide part. And, yeah, my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle. Time flies. God's word assures us that God's grace is adequate. It's adequate for every need we'll meet. Now, here again, we know that. We know the fact. We believe what the Bible teaches. We really do. We believe it. But living that experience is an additional thing. Because what we experience in life, we have got to be able to take what the Bible teaches us and apply it to the daily living. And we know it's right, but at the same time, this old nature of ours, we struggle with what we know is right and what is so. And so it's a matter of how we apply the truth that we learn and that we know. In Psalm 73, and I'm going to be looking at verse 24. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. When life is over, that's when he'll receive us to glory. For some people, it might be of young age. For others, it might be of extreme old age. Pat's mother is, this month, how old is she now?
96.
Now, she has dementia, so she doesn't know, usually know much of what's taking place and happening. But the fact is, she'll be received to glory. And then others, you know, you read in the newspaper, the obituaries, and you hear of people that have died 24, 25 years of age. Sometimes tragic in like a car accident. Wow, even so much more tragic when it's from a drug overdose. But thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Being guided with his counsel is important. Receive me, okay, to glory. It's a personal thing. And history records, this I found fascinating. There was a botanist named Linnaeus. Don't know who he is, just have to give him credit. And he devised a clock. How many of you have been to Canada and, along the gorge and the river, there's a place where there's a flower clock. Okay? All right. Brother Dick Ruggles has been there, and Cooks have been there. And it's beautiful, all made out of flowers, and the hands move around. This botanist made a clock, the face of which was out of flowers, but here's what is unique. At each hour of the day, there was a bud. And when the clock reached 1 o'clock, the bud opened. When the clock reached 2 o'clock, that bud opened. And so on as it went around. Now, that took skill for sure. Each of the buds located at each hour, opening at that specific time. Think about that. The skill, the ability. God has a similar order and beauty in the garden of life. And carefully, steadily, he unfolds the petals of time of each event. If you had asked me 10 years ago about today, I would not have been able to tell you other than a guess. And I imagine that I'd have guessed wrong. Go back 25 years. And again, try to imagine this point, this time in your life. There's things that God unfolds when we get there. And if we'll truly trust Him and live with Him and for Him, He will unfold those events for us. If He did it sooner, we couldn't handle it. We need the insight, the understanding, the strength, the wisdom, and all that He grows in us. And that's why it's so important that we live for Him. For now, yes. It's important for now. But the future also will be better. Because some event, some experience is going to unfold. And if we have not grown strong now, that event can do us in. Sadly, many a Christian has been defeated and fallen because they did not have the strength to meet what they face in their future. Age speaks. Psalm 37, we read from it earlier. Psalm 37, I have been young, verse 25, and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. Look at the two verses before. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. And though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Age speaks. And then age also has questions. Psalm 71. Psalm 71 and verse 18. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is come. Responsibility that those who are older have. And that is to show to this generation the power of the Lord. They need to see older people who are living for God. Older people who are living righteously. That's necessary. And he tells us there, when I am old and gray-headed. Oh, gray-headed. Let's quickly turn to Leviticus 19. Leviticus 19. And I'm going to look at verse 32. Leviticus 19:32. Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head, gray hair, okay, and honor the face of the old man, and fear thy God. I am the Lord. Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man. The Eastern cultures honor and show respect to the aged,
right,
and to the elderly, and that is to their credit. Western civilizations do not have that same, do not give that same place of respect and honor as do those of the Eastern countries. Thou shalt rise up before the Herod and honor the face of the old man. Now, in order for that to happen, it's necessary, like we read in Psalm 71, it is necessary that we older people set a good example. If we want younger generations to respect the older ones, then the older ones can't be acting foolish. Can't be living foolishly. Started out by saying nobody likes grumpy. And so if an older person is just constantly griping and moaning and whining and I don't understand why people don't bother with me. Yo. It's no wonder people don't bother with somebody that's of that kind of disposition. And so, last verse, Proverbs 16. Because I believe this is really a key to the matter. Now, it says, the hoary head, the gray hair, the white hair, the old people, okay? you go some places and, you look around and there's all white hair, all bald people, of course you can be bald when you're younger, but old people. But look at this, in Proverbs 16 and verse 31, 16:31. The hoary head is a crown of glory. There you go. We got a crown of glory. Those of us that have white hair, gray hair, we're a crown of glory. You just need to show me respect. Oh, that's not the whole verse, is it? You see it there? The hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. If it be found in the way of righteousness. And if that older person isn't setting an example of righteousness, it's no wonder that they don't have or are treated as a crown of glory. What's the old saying? Life's a two-way street. You want that from the younger generations? Then we as older folks need to set that example of righteousness.
Good stuff.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for today. Thank you for the opportunity of looking at your word and trying to understand, dear Father, this time and this point in life for those of us who are there and for all who will get there. In Jesus' name, amen.
You know how to shut the pastor's phone? That. Oh, okay. Yeah, we need to.
Hi, Dee Dee. How you doing?
No, press home one more. Oh, it's got a passcode on it. So yeah, good luck
okay,
with that.
Well, he was recording.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go.
Okay. I know. My schedule.
Right. Well, you had a busy week. Yeah. And I was just coming to remind you.
I have it on my computer. I was going to do it last night, and I was so excited.
Okay. That's all right. You can send me an email or a text with it. Okay. That'll be fine. Yeah, I don't know how to deal with that.
Very good.